This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
So, I'm joined right now by a gentleman, and before I introduce, let me say, Champ, happy birthday to you. Today is your birthday. We've been seeing the tweets coming out. The reason why I bring up Champ's birthday and the fact that we're all wishing him a happy birthday from Sports Radio 740 is because I believe his boss is in here with me right now, and that is Cappy. Here's the thing is his name is Jerry Capodona. Capodona? Is that how I said it? Did I say it right? Good. There we go. He's the general manager, golf pro over at Lagoon Park, and I know that you know everything about the game. You guys do so much over there at Lagoon Park. You've had me out there multiple times to play golf. And I was like, you know what? If there's a guy that's going to know how to talk about this, it's you. So I appreciate you coming in because now you just make the show sound way more legit. Okay. So, and I have to ask about this weekend. Let's start with this weekend that happened because I know what's happening next weekend. Next weekend, everybody will be able to talk about golf. But they had a golf event this weekend, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not really good at the whole match play and what's going on. I know that Justin Thomas had an opportunity at going number one in the world. He lost, so he didn't get that. What all did happen in that tournament? What is a match play tournament, and how often these things happen?
So the European Tour and the American Tour only have one major match play event a year.
Yeah.
This is called a World Golf Championship. There's actually five of them, and the criteria for them is limited to the top 64 players in the world.
Okay.
And if number 62 breaks out, number 65 gets in, and so on. And match play, you are not playing by your score, you're playing by holes. So if you make an 8 on a hole and I make a 3, I don't gain 5 on you. I just won that hole.
Just game one.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So that's the difference. And for guys like you, that's a good thing.
Yes.
Because you're going to throw a couple 8s out there.
Oh, no. I will definitely throw one out. Now, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for having somebody like Champ on our team when we played in our golf tournament a couple of weeks ago, there would have been a lot of 8s. There definitely would have been a lot. Because if you do like a 4-man scramble, 3 of us would hit crap and we'd turn around and go, Champ, go ahead and knock it up there, buddy, because we know you're going to do it, or we're going to have to use a mulligan, one of the two. So match play actually benefits somebody like myself.
Yes, and it's easier to come back from a disaster.
Gotcha.
Match play.
So what's like, I think it was Bubba Watson won the championship on, when they say 7-6, I believe is what
right.
it is.
Right, so the first number is how many holes he was up, and the second number is how many holes were left.
Gotcha.
So he was 7 holes up on Kevin Kisner with 6 holes to play.
What is the type of interest when it comes to golf now because of, say, the local connection with somebody like Justin Thomas? Because you have an Alabama guy, and, you know, I'm on Twitter. And I honestly don't pay attention to golf too often unless two people are playing. Tiger Woods and then Justin, just because my feed blows up with so many people, I feel like he's made golf more popular in the state.
Absolutely. There's a natural attachment. We do little pools on, like, kind of like the Sweet 16 and all that,
yeah,
with the match play, and he was the most popular pick.
Seriously.
At Lagoon Park.
So with that, what all goes on with you guys there when it comes in connection to that match play and all that sort of stuff?
Well, it creates a lot of conversation about,
yeah,
golf, and, you know, ultimately what I'm supposed to do is help grow the game.
Yeah.
And the pro game helps do that, so, and it's fun for us to watch. Let me tell you this, Joe.
Okay.
Those guys play a different game than the rest of it. It's amazing,
yeah,
how good they are.
Is it unique whenever, you know, you have so many people that come out to your golf course and play? You can tell the ones that have been doing this for a minute, right? Like, when you say they're different, I mean, what do you mean by different exactly? Because I know what my swing looks like. I have a feeling their swing looks 4,000 times better.
Yeah, and in the end, what we try to teach people, everybody's swing doesn't have to look alike. It's the 6 inches before the ball and the 6 inches after the ball,
right,
have to be right. For instance, Bubba Watson, who won, has never taken a golf lesson.
Really?
Yes, and he turns the ball 30 yards to the right and 30 yards to the left.
Okay.
He plays a completely different game than anybody else on the PGA Tour.
This is where I feel like I can ask a question and not feel stupid for asking it. When you say he turns the ball 30 yards to the left and 30, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, Joe, you and I are trying to hit the ball straight.
I would love to.
You, right? People come get lessons from me so they can hit it straight.
Right.
But his eyes work different.
Okay.
He knows the mechanics of starting the ball 15 yards out to the right and bringing it back.
Okay.
15 yards this.
Like, is it like, is that like a draw? Is that what that is?
So he's left-handed. So a draw for him is going from the left to the right.
Left to the right.
And a slice for him, which is how he hits all his tee shots, is from the right to the left.
Gotcha.
Opposite for right-handers.
Absolutely. So with these match plays, I mean, he won $1.7 million. That's a lot of money. And the weird, I was listening to other on our new show, the Three Man Front, that was just on a little while ago. These match plays are different because it's not like they play 18 holes per day. They can double up, can't they?
Well, like Kevin Kisner was done after 12 holes.
Yeah.
So when they get to the semifinal, the Saturday and the Sunday, they play 36 holes.
Wow.
If you win. The loser goes home.
The loser goes home. The other one, hey, you get to keep playing. What is that like on a body? Like, you know, I know that I get tired riding in a golf cart after 18. Like, your body gets stiff a little bit. You eventually just kind of fade. But playing 36 holes in one day, that feels like that's a lot on a body.
Well, and what I would say with that, it is, but it's also cumulative on the lower back. Plus, they play 6 straight days in this tournament where they're used to playing 4 days, 1 round a game.
Right. So with the six per, I mean, that is, I mean, you're talking at the, I mean, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I mean, that's 18 holes at the least per day for 6 straight days. That's a lot more golf. Like, I felt like the match play would be easier because, hey, if you skunk somebody, you only got to play, like, you know, 12 or 13 holes. But if not, I mean, you're talking about a lot of golf in a week.
Well, you know, the great Yogi Berra said about golf. He said 90% of this game is 100% mental.
Right.
And that's what wears out in these guys. The
wow.
level of concentration
yeah.
and holding it for that long, that's what wears out.
So for these guys, how could that affect if, say, for instance, Bubba Watson, a lot of people say, oh, I like to pay attention to the tournament before the Masters because that gives me an idea of how somebody's going to play in the Masters. You're talking about a lot of golf that he played before him. Would this actually work against him next week?
Well, there's a tournament this weekend in Houston.
Yeah.
And there's two schools of thought on the tour. Some want to play into a major, mm-hmm. and others, like Bubba, who's taking vacation, Tiger, Mickelson wants to play and Tiger doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's all in your routine and how you want to do it. Phil Mickelson always plays the week before a major. Tiger Woods never does.
Because is it just used to just how your body reacts and you kind of
exactly.
learned your body type thing? All right, when we come back, because I have so many questions for you as we continue right here, and of course about everything that you guys are doing over there at Lagoon Park, because if somebody does want to again, you're a golf pro, you can help people like me with their swings, we'll ask you some more about that. We'll talk about the Masters that's coming up in a couple of weeks as well. As we continue here, 240-923-0180-239-9544. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 740 in the Fallout. So I'm sitting in the studio here with Cappy from Lagoon Park, the golf pro, the general manager, champs boss. As we're going, and he goes, we start talking about baseball because we started. I forgot how we got onto the conversation. I know it was a NASCAR race is what we started talking about, wasn't it? It was NASCAR, and we moved on. And okay, I have to. You said this, and I want to. Was that really your last baseball game that you went to?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so we're talking, and he goes, everybody outside told me to tell you that my last baseball game was on a certain date. And what was this date?
It was July 9th, 6 years ago.
July 9th, 6 years ago. Now, for me, I know what happened on July 9th, 6 years ago, because I remember leaving work, going home to specifically watch this on MLB Network. But for people that don't, what happened July 9th, 6 years ago? And this was your last baseball game you've ever been to.
In the bottom of the third inning.
Yes.
David Price threw a changeup, and Derek Jeter hit it into the left field seats for his 3,000th hit.
You were at Yankee Stadium for Derek Jeter's 3,000th
hit. It was electric, Joe.
So wait, what got you to New York City for that? I mean, that, now I have to ask the whole, you know, it's always about circumstance. You know, everybody gets put into a situation, and you know, you talk about the course of events that lead up to that. What was the course of events that led up for you to be there on July 9, 2012?
Well, the first thing is my father grew up 10 miles from Yankee Stadium watching the great Joe DiMaggio.
Uh-huh.
So I've been a lifelong
awesome.
Yankees fan. My oldest son lived in New York City, and it was his 30th birthday.
That's awesome. So you were up there for his 30th birthday.
So on his 30th birthday, it was Burnett's 300th start for the Inc., and it was the 3,000 hit. It was a bunch of threes.
So was that his birthday present, or was that your gift, or did you say, son, what do you, I mean, what? How does that work?
We brought our other son in, my wife, so the whole family was there, and on his 30th birthday, we went to Yankee Stadium. What could be better?
No, I agree. Matter of fact, my wife and I, we always plan a trip every single summer. We tried for everything in us this year to try to figure out a way to go to both Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium at the same time, like the same trip. And it was, unfortunately, it would have been about $800 more to our trip to go. So we just cut Yankee Stadium out. We're just going to Fenway Park. But she will. I know. It was her choice. Happy wife, happy life, right? And amen. If my wife is going to say I want to go to Fenway Park, who am I to argue? Okay, I get the golf guy talking about baseball during the breaks and on this. But you and I were also talking earlier, and the cool thing about golf is, and we were joking about this a couple of weeks ago, is that I'm an ex baseball player. My golf swing is very similar to my baseball swing. I will go out and I will swing as hard as I possibly can. The ball will go 200 yards on the ground. Like it's like a shot right up the middle. And then I turn around and there's a guy 40, 50 years older than I am will go up there. And I start to worry that he's not even going to be being able to make it up to the tee box. And he drives one 275 right down the middle, and I'm just like, what the heck? Like, this sport is crazy.
Well, Joe, I'm very fond of saying with young athletic guys, go to the gym, play base, that one of the first things I have to do is take the athlete out of you.
Right.
You're go, 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 go at it, mm-hmm. but it's more about a sequence of events. Mm-hmm. That's how you hit the ball a long way. You and I talked earlier. Dustin Johnson, in competition, hit a 485-yard drive in Austin, Texas on Saturday.
That's a bomb. Yes. That is a bomb.
Yeah, it's actually the longest in PGA Tour competition, but they didn't have the shot link on, which is the official measuring thing, so it doesn't count as the record.
Oh, that sucks for him.
Yeah.
Like seriously, guys, come on. Like, did you not? But, I mean, you're talking about 485. That's... I mean, he would basically be what, like chipping on a par five? Like
it was a 560-some-yard, and he had an 85-yard second shot.
That is amazing. Please tell me he eagled that.
You would probably play a driver, three wood.
Oh, no, that's exactly what I did. As a matter of fact, there was a point in time where I just held my driver and just drove the golf cart and been like, I'm just going to use you again. I know that I'm going to use you again on that. And he was over there shooting like a pitching wedge, a lob wedge
it
on his next shot?
Lob wedge.
A lob wedge on it. By the way, how does a lob wedge work, because I haven't figured that out yet, and I have owned one for 20 years.
So here, real quick.
It's an awesome club. Yeah. Don't know how to use it.
The first guy to win in competition with it was Tom Kite at the 93 U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. Before that, nobody had one. Basically, a pitching wedge is a 10 iron.
Right.
Then we came up with the sand wedge, mm-hmm. which was typically 55 or 60. So now there's a gap between the pitching wedge and the sand wedge, so we made a gap wedge. But then they said we want even more control, so a lob wedge is typically 58 or 60 degrees.
Okay.
So it's made to make the ball land soft. Think about it. The more loft you had, the more aggressive you can be from shorter distances.
Yes, and I suck at it. I really, really do. Like, there will be, it's one of those that whenever I approach the golf ball, I know either this ball is going to go straight up in the air, which is what it's kind of intended to do, and land directly on the ground without moving, or I'm going to hit this thing 65 yards in a wrong direction and have to yell at somebody to duck. One of the two is going to happen for me.
I make the kids sing when I'm teaching them how to do the shot.
Seriously?
Yeah, they have to sing, head down, hit the ground.
And that's how it's head down, hit the ground.
Yes.
See, for me, and I like the part where you said, take the athlete out of you, because it wasn't until probably 2 years ago where I actually figured out, I actually don't have to swing with all my might. That's hard for a guy like me who's been taught to swing as hard as you can his entire life to go, just go up there and barely swing. Just barely swing at all. So how long does it normally take you whenever you are teaching somebody, like a guy that comes in for your very first class? What is it, the end of the first session that you start seeing him improve that much, or how long does it normally take?
I'll be honest, when I do a first lesson, I want him to successfully hit the ball in the air.
That's a really good answer. Seriously.
I know it sounds crazy, yeah. But he needs, or she,
I didn't expect that answer.
To see that.
Right. Because it builds success, right? I mean, like, it builds that good mental image in your head.
Yeah. I'm trying to develop motion first,
yeah.
Contact second, direction last.
So what's the first thing you do? Like when somebody walks up to you for the very first time, you shake their hand, you go, I'm going to be your golf pro. What do you go for first?
I say, hey, let's have an A sample. Hit a ball.
You're just going to say, let me see what I'm working with?
That's right. And then what we do as golf professionals, we have drills.
Yeah.
Things that develop and isolate certain parts of the swing.
Yeah.
And I have to evaluate and determine the drills. I have a series I use with beginners.
Yeah.
But with different players of all levels, you use drills to isolate the part of the swing you're trying to improve.
Awesome. So right now, say for instance, if somebody's listening to you on Sports Radio 74 and they go, man, I want Cappy to teach me how to swing. What do they need to do?
240-4050 is Lagoon Park Golf Course. And I do want to mention David Westfelt, my assistant,
yeah.
who is an excellent teacher also. So between us, we're trying to grow that. Because we're trying to grow the game. If you play better,
yeah.
you play more.
No, absolutely. I mean, whenever, and we joke about it, and we've joked about the past few weeks, is watch your 18th, watch your drive on your 18th hole be your most favorite, and you're going to want to come back because of what happened on the 18th. Doesn't matter what happened 1 through 17. Whatever happens on 18 is going to dictate how quickly you come back to play golf.
I tell golfers all the time, new golfers, I said, this is going to be hard for you to hear, but your round is about one shot.
Absolutely, yeah. I can understand that.
You ever stand and talk to your friends as they come off and you say, how'd you play? Very seldom do they say 78, 85, 92. They say, you should have seen the putt I made on 6. You should have seen the 9-iron I hit on. It's that one shot. It holds the promise, and it brings you back.
You know, I will tell you, as we're wrapping up here in just a few seconds, is I remember the last time I played, I hit a beautiful shot just directly down the fairway. And then the guy directly behind me hit one 10 feet in front of me. And I just looked at him like, dude, seriously, that's my best shot of the day. You really just had to show me up. Cappy, I appreciate you coming in. We're going to be doing this more, absolutely. We'll get you on to talk more about Lagoon Park. We'll get you on to talk about the Masters. We'll get all of that coming up here. And I just appreciate you coming in. And again, this is a sport I need to learn more about, and I appreciate it.
Really excited about doing this, Joe. Thanks for taking care of me.
Hey, no, trust me. It's going to be a lot more fun when we come back. We got more of your phone calls, 240-9230, 1-800-239-9544. And next time, you can call in, ask Cappy some questions, get some tips. We're all going to be growing this together. We'll be back on Sports Radio 740 The Fallout.